As they are doing so, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John as we read the short section from verse 19 to verse 23. As we have the second appearance of the Lord Jesus to his disciples 1 week following his resurrection. John chapter 20 from verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This also is the living and abiding Word of God. Thanks be to his great name. Now, in our Presbyterian congregations, we do not very frequently come to the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but 4 times in the course of the single year. Nevertheless, I believe that every time that we come to that table of the Lord, it is a very special and a very meaningful occasion, and should be for every believer in the Lord Jesus. And we believe within our Presbyterian tradition that the very infrequency of the celebration of the Lord's table does add to its meaning and its significance as we come on these occasions to share fellowship with him. It is in a very real sense a high day within the church, and should be, I believe, a high day in the experience of every one of us who are in Christ. And so we have come to the table here this morning. Now, I suppose if I were to go around the assembly of every Christian who has met with us, both our own members and those Christian men and women who are visiting us this morning, what a wonderful and varied account of Christian experience we would have here within this auditorium this morning. As one would say, "My Lord rescued me out of the pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock." And another would say that he rescued me in the midst of my success, when I felt no spiritual need initially of him, and yet he drew me by the bands and cords of his Spirit with conviction of my sin and need, and brought me out of that dangerous condition where I was without God and without hope in the world, and drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And another would have some other story, and a fourth, yet a different account of experiencing the living Lord Jesus. Now, in our scripture passage this morning from John's Gospel, you will notice that 8 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, 'twas upon the evening of the Sunday, 1 week later, surely the beginning of the significance of the Lord's Day. It was on that occasion that Jesus met with his 11 disciples, for the first time, all of them being present. And they were men, beloved, who encountered the living Lord. And my dear friends, as we look at this passage this morning, I want you to see with me that one of the great things that these men were encountering as they met with the living Lord was simply this: a rediscovery of their mission to the world. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus said, within the hallowed precincts of that upper room, "as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And my dear friends, as we come to this table this morning, I believe if we have one need, it is that we should rediscover our mission to the world. So send I you. Our Savior addresses us. Are we shut in with our Lord this morning? It is but in order to be sent out. Are we in deepest fellowship with him this morning through his word and the sacrament of his table? It is in order that we might go out to bring others into that same fellowship with him that we enjoy. Are we like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration this morning, who wrapped up with the sense of his presence and his glory, say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's stay here on the Mount forever. Yes, but there is a world of need in the valley below, awaiting the ministry of Christian men and women. And as we come to the table this morning in the light of this passage, and I expound it to you, I want you to ask yourself the question in your inmost soul, what is my responsibility as I sit at the table of the Lord? Am I continually taking in, but seldom, if ever, giving out? Am I receiving the Word of God in all its richness, but there is seldom, if ever, any outflow of that Word into the lives of others? What is my responsibility at the table of the Lord whom I love and serve? As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so I want you to see, first of all, from this passage, the mission of the Lord Jesus. Because you notice in these verses that we read, there are three missions. There is a threefold mission in this lovely portion of the Word of God. The mission of the Lord Jesus. As the Father, he says, has sent me. And I want you to notice that as Jesus met with his disciples, all 11 of them, for the first time, because you remember that when he appeared on the day of his resurrection, Thomas was absent. When they were all there, what was uppermost in the mind and heart of our Savior as he came to them in the newness of his resurrection life, the conqueror of death and hell, the victor over evil, vanquished by his work upon the cross? What was in his mind? He was possessed, beloved, with a sense of his own divine mission. As the Father has sent me, he said. And we are reminded, aren't we, of how the Lord Jesus in the letter to the Hebrews is described as the great apostle and high priest of our profession, the one who was sent out, from the Greek word apostello, to send, the great apostle and high priest of our profession, the great missionary who has come to us out of the presence of the living Father, down into this world of sin and need. And from the bosom of the Father came into the world to work the great work of our salvation. Wasn't this what John the Baptist saw when he speaks of Jesus so eloquently in John chapter 3? And said of him that his ways are the ways of God, because he has come out from God above. For he whom God has sent, said John, speaks the words of God, For God does not give to him the Spirit by measure. And then as you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus, is this not what you see again and again? His sense of divine mission overshadowing everything that he did and every word that he spoke and every act of ministry that he performed. As the Father has sent me, he was always aware of having been sent. And we see, do we not, in all the miracles that he performed, the marvelous outworkings of the compassion of God. These miracles that are in a real way prophecies of the wonderful wholeness that should belong to all the people of God. These pictures of what Jesus spiritually has come into the world to do as he took away the sickness from those who were diseased, as he restored the sight to the blind, as he gave life to the physically dead. Marvelous indications of his ministry and mission in the world, of that wholeness that belongs to all the people of God. And there is, after all, no clearer passage of Scripture, I believe, in which he speaks of his divine mission than in John chapter 17, in his great high priestly prayer. It's one of the striking characteristics of that prayer, how many times Jesus speaks of having been sent. John 17 verse 3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Verse 8 of John 17, "I came out from thee," Jesus said, "thou didst send me." Verse 18, "As thou hast sent me, even so I send them." Verse 21, "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Verse 23, "That the world may know that thou hast sent me." And verse 26, "These, my disciples, in this lovely circle of my intimate friends, these have known," what? "That thou hast sent me." And my dear friends, I have to tell you that that great mission of his being sent out from the ivory palaces above, from the intimacy of fellowship with his Father, the purpose of his mission was this: that he had come into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It was a work of salvation that drew him forth from the ivory palaces, a work of costly sacrifice for the sins of his people that thrust him out from the glory into a world of darkness and of needs, that he, in the fullness of God's purpose, might become the only redeemer of God's elect. And so you find, even at the commencement of his ministry, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, as he went into the synagogue and opened the scroll, and there was silence throughout the whole auditorium as he spoke. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, to deliver the captives, to pronounce the year of Jubilee to those who are in prison." And these words he said to them, you remember, are fulfilled in your very hearing: "I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." Beloved, in summary, the Father sent the Son on a great divine mission of salvation. And you and I are here at the table this morning because of that. As a result of that great divine mission, we take the bread and we lift up the cup of wine in thankfulness to Him. But my dear friend, as you and I come to this table, do not the words ring in our ears that we have heard, "As the Father has sent me." We cannot sit this morning at the feet of Christ, beloved, and not feel our need to work for Him who has first worked for us. Ah, but you may say, I have not felt His hand upon my shoulder, saying to me personally and intimately, as He said to those in the upper room, "Go, tell." Or some sister sitting here this morning may say, "But ah, I have not felt His word addressed to me. Go tell your companions the good news of the gospel." No, but I say to you, He has virtually done just that. As by His Spirit He has reminded us of His own divine mission into the world, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." And oh, I pray with all my heart, my dear friends in Christ, that He may draw near to some of you this morning and commission you to service in His great name, the mission of the Lord Jesus. But you see, secondly, there is in our passage the mission of the Holy Spirit in verse 22. "And with that," says John, "He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit." We have seen that the Father sent the Son. But I want you to notice that it is both the Father and the Son that now send out the blessed Holy Spirit of God. "He breathed on them," says John. And what it means is that the Holy Spirit was truly given to them in some measure at that moment, for no action of our Savior was without consequence. But though they received the Spirit of God at that moment, they did not receive Him in all the fullness that would come to them on the day of Pentecost. If you like, it was the first drop in that great heavenly shower that would come down upon the ground on the day of Pentecost and fertilize it so plenteously. And you see, what Jesus was doing was something very significant. He was qualifying them for their commission. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And what is the mission of that blessed Spirit? The promise of the Father that He spoke of in Acts 1 verse 4. The power from on high that Jesus promised in Luke chapter 24. The Counselor from the Father sent in the name of the Son from John 15 verse 26. What is His mission? Well, think of it for a moment in the life and ministry of our Savior. Do you realize that all that our Savior did in all the blessed days of His 30 or 33 years upon the earth, all that He did was by the agency and upholding of the Spirit of God? See Him in Bethlehem, that wonderful conception, by the power of the Spirit of God resting upon the spotless Virgin Mary. I should not say spotless, but upon the Virgin Mary. And that holy thing that was in her womb was none other than the Son of God himself. Think of the Spirit coming upon Jesus in his baptism as a dove, or driving him to the temptation in the wilderness for 40 days, or enabling him to fulfill all of the Messiah's work, or possessing him in such power that he was able to cast out demons and overcome all the power of the evil one. Or through the eternal Spirit offering himself upon the cross of Calvary, or by the power of the Spirit being raised that mutilated corpse into newness of life, and so alive forevermore. Do you see, beloved, the intimate relationship of the Spirit of God with the ministry and mission of the Lord Jesus? And so you and I see, do we not, the connection that must be between the mission of the Spirit and the mission of his people, the church. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why is the Spirit given to us, beloved, as we come to this table this morning? Let me say to you, he is never given to you and I for our personal enjoyment, for our personal subjective experiences. And the emphasis that we see in so many assemblies of God's people is wrongly placed. He is given not to glorify us, but to glorify the Lord Jesus through us. And his mission as he comes to us is threefold, isn't it? It is a mission of teaching. What happened when they received the Spirit of God, these 11 apostles and disciples? They were able to remember all the works and words of Jesus that were to be recorded for the benefit of the church in every age. He brought to their remembrance the things that he spoke, the mighty acts that he performed, the ministry in which he was engaged. And that Spirit gave them insight into the marvelous person of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and began to teach them the meaning of his words about himself and about his mission. And so, because the apostles were taught by the Holy Spirit, we base our eternal destiny upon their record in this book. He came on a teaching mission. But do you notice, secondly, that he came on an encouraging mission, the Holy Spirit? He reminded them of all the prophecies of the Old Testament that were so gloriously fulfilled in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. All the parts and portions of Isaiah 53 fulfilled before their eyes. Psalm 22, Psalm 16, speaking of his resurrection. And that blessed Spirit of God encouraged them with the certainty and assuredness that Jesus was no deceiver, no fake, but their living Messiah. And he began to witness with their spirit that they were indeed the children of God. And he began to intercede for them, as we read in Romans 8, with groanings that are beyond the power of human speech. And through all these things, we see the ministry and mission of the Spirit is not only one of teaching, but one of encouragement to believers. But then, thirdly, his mission is one of persuasion, isn't it? As we read in John 16, verse 8, when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, Jesus said. His ministry, beloved, through us is one of persuading others of the sin of their unbelief in not trusting themselves in body and soul to the great Savior. In not coming to be clothed with His perfect righteousness that they might stand whole in the presence of the Holy God. To convict them of the judgment of Satan who rules this world, who is now a defeated enemy. And to call men from their allegiance to Satan to a new allegiance to the Lord Jesus. A mission of teaching, persuasion, encouragement. My dear friend in the Lord, has He breathed upon you? Are the marks of your experience that you are growing in the teaching of the Word of God, growing in the assurance of your salvation, growing in your ability to be the mouthpiece to the Holy Spirit as He comes beseeching men to be reconciled to God? Oh, my dear friend, this morning as we sit at this table, we need to commit all that is a hindrance to the mission of the Lord Jesus through the mission of the Holy Spirit being fulfilled in our lives. That darling sin, that fear of the face of men, that unwillingness to study the Scriptures that we might know them and be the mouthpiece of the Spirit speaking forth salvation, whatever the impediment is, may He grant us grace to tear it from us and hear His words. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly, as we close, do you notice that there is not only a mission of the Lord Jesus and a mission of the Holy Spirit, but there is the mission of the community of believers. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And is this not, my dear friends, a repeated emphasis from the ministry of the Lord Jesus in the days of His flesh? He did not view this as optional. He did not say to His followers, this is an elective, choose it if you will. So send I you. And in the days of His ministry, He sent out the 12, remember, to preach the gospel with power, to cast out evil spirits. And then in quick succession, He sent out the 70 after them. And He said, you remember in those lovely and memorable words, truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers into His harvest. The mission of the community of believers was much upon our Savior's heart. You and I might look around our seminaries this morning and see there is a paucity of young men for the ministry, of young men and women for the mission field and for the work of home missions. This city of Jacksonville is a home mission field, beloved. And this should be the concern of the whole Church of God. It should be a matter of concern to you this morning. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send out laborers into His harvest. It's not for committees to do this, but for congregations in obedience to Christ. My friend, do you realize as you go home from this service this morning, and the service next Sunday morning and the Sunday after that, and you sit at your lunch table and you talk with your children about the service and the sermon and what you've learned, what are you doing? You are saying, the calling of Christ that will come one day to you is high and honorable. You're conveying a message. I want to be obedient to my Lord and Savior. I'm listening to His word. He's saying to me, I need you for my service. And I'm sharing with my family what I've learned Sunday by Sunday. And they're seeing my commitment to Christ. And my example and my words are saying to them, the Lord of the covenant is your Lord. And He wants you for His service. And one day if He calls you, it's a high and holy and blessed calling. So send I you. And oh, my friend, as I finish this morning, my responsibility and yours as we sit at the table of the Lord Jesus is not to continually be taking in. Oh, what a blessed privilege that is. Oh, what light and illumination spring forth from the sacred page and thrill my heart and bless my spirit and inform my mind. But there is not only to be an inflow, but an outflow as well. He breathed on them, and they began to be qualified for their great commission. Oh, beloved, this morning, that He would breathe upon each one of us and send His Spirit now. Nay, I do not need to ask for it, because that blessed Spirit is already given to the church once and for all and needs no repetition. But what is needed, beloved, is that you and I should feel the power of that Spirit upon us. And learn as we come to the table this morning not to estimate ourselves according to our abilities or our experience or our learning, but rest in the great divine energy that comes to us by the commission of Christ. So send I you, and He breathed upon them. Because our power is feebleness, but His power is God's power. And oh, then, as we come now to His table, may the Lord Jesus indeed be here amongst us. May each of us feel a fresh anointing of His own Spirit. And in the strength which He shall give, we shall go forward to new areas of service for the glory of God. May the Lord Jesus bless you all. Indeed. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, may we realize within our own hearts and spirits the blessedness of that commissioning of the risen Savior. And may we see in our own lives the importance that He felt in His new risen life of being sent on a divine mission by the Father. And may we indeed be His appointed instruments to continue that mission in the world today, empowered by the blessed presence of the Spirit Himself. So send I you. Amen.